Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex, with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen!
Can I get an A women?
A women!
Women!
It's my 12th bedside chat of the Corona apocalypse. And I wish the Corona apocalypse was like Christmas, where there's only 12, but it keeps going. And so my bedside chats, inspired by FDR's fireside chats, keep going and growing along with you. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters. And speaking of fire, there's fire in the air. Wendy's is burning now. Yes, indeed. Sadistic policing and police brutality are everywhere. And not just because I wrote about it in Counterpunch last week, but if it were only so, I wouldn't write about it again. But no, it's just everywhere. And I'm just wonder, I mean, has it always been this way and we're just getting the video of it? Is that what's going on? Now we're seeing what it's always been? So brutal, so sadistic, so abusive, so deadly. Always been like this? We didn't know, or I didn't know. I knew it was bad, I just didn't know it was this bad. Or, I'm an either or kind of Gemini gal, you know. But I mean, I wonder, are the police just pissed? Just super pissed at all these huge protests against them. I mean, you know, whether you want to defund the police or reform the police, you got a problem with the police right now if you're a thinking, caring human being. I mean, unless, you know, your relatives are cops or whatever, or you're a cop, really. It's coming down to that. Coming down to that. You know, that maybe, okay, if you're part of the family, like, isn't that what the word mafia means? Family? Something like that. Anyway, it's the biggest gang. And they're pissed from all these Black Lives Matter protests that have them as the enemy. Sorry. I love a lot of cops. I can't say some of my best friends have been cops, but some of my best clients, and I know there are good cops, but it's almost like the whole idea of the bad apples. I think it's more like there's some good apples, but that the system is messed up. Lethal, deadly, and it's gotten a lot worse since I was young. And lately, I swear, it's almost like they're going after celebrities. Because celebrities, I mean, we would know about them in the past, you know. But now, I mean, I just saw Saturday Night Live comedian Jay Farrow here in L.A. was given the knee treatment, thrown down, kneed almost to the point where he couldn't breathe. But he could, and he survived, and they apologized. I don't even know if they apologized. They just said, oh, you look like a suspect. Why? Because he's black? Is that why? Really, guys. He's wearing gray sweatpants. Gray sweatshirt. Oh, yeah, like nobody wears that. So he's the suspect, and he needs to be tackled because of his gray sweatpants and kneed to the point of almost dying. And he's lived to tell the tale, and he's, like, exhilarated. You should check him out. I'm sure he's going to come up with some good jokes. But so far, he's kind of traumatized. And then the other celebrity that I just saw just the last few hours, First Nation Chief Alan Adam in Canada. In Canada. It's not just here. I would like to think it's just here. I don't know, just to limit it. But no, it's everywhere, and that's why protests have been everywhere. And if you see this video where they just, one guy's holding this this Native American chief, I almost said Indian, I know, and I hope no one takes offense at my face mask being somewhat Navajo in its print, or maybe I even got the tribe wrong. But, I mean, I don't know how you don't appropriate, and of course all my rainbows are appropriating from LGBTQ, but I am bi, so I fit in there. Anyway, this Alan Adam, they just held him, and they just, this other guy just lunged at him, and his wife is there, and it's just crazy. And then the Wendy's, why is Wendy's going up in flames? Well, because another guy, a guy by the name of Rayshard Brooks, he fell asleep in his car. You ever do that? Yeah. Well, he did that. He fell asleep in his car. And he was drunk, you know, so it was probably a good idea for him to be in his car as opposed to driving, just sleeping and sleeping it off. So he's in his car in the Wendy's parking lot, and Wendy's calls the cops. I'm not blaming Wendy's, but let's just say, don't call the cops unless you want them to kill the guy that you're thinking might be something. Because they came in there, and they pulled this guy out, and they struggled with him. He's a strong guy. He actually got away from two big cops. He got away from them. And, you know, you guys can say, oh, he should have submitted. Yeah, right. Submit and die. Well, in this case, he resisted and died. He kind of resisted. He just wriggled away. He didn't do anything. He just wriggled away, and they shot him in the back a few times. And they killed him. In Atlanta. And lest we in California think that we're above all that, well, we've just had the equivalent of lynchings. I know they don't fit the textbook definition, but two guys hanging from trees in Palmdale and Victorville. And the police said that they think they're suicides. Yeah, like you're going to hang yourself from a tree near a government building. Right, that's what you're going to do to commit suicide. I mean, was it the cops? Was it the KKK? Of course, these guys were black, two of them. Or was it some sort of combo of cops, KKK? I'm sorry. We need let's just say, I guess it sounds sort of like a weak word, but I don't want to go too crazy, but we need reform. So, and smarter people than me can figure out how to do that. All I know is it should involve the bonobo way, peace through pleasure, which has something to do with neighborhood policing. You know, it's got to do with caring about your community. It's got to do with helping people to do right by providing them a positive avenue to that instead of killing them. And bonobos don't kill each other in the wild or captivity. So right there, they do policing without killing. And they do policing because in every society, there are people that are going to, you know, do things that are against the benefit of other people in the society. And often that's wrong. And, well, I don't know how often, but it's sometimes wrong. And so somebody has to school them, as Claudine André puts it about the bonobo MILFs that school the bonobo boys in how to behave properly. Exactly. They school them, and they might smack them around and hurt them a bit, but they don't kill them. And then, you know, they give them a blowjob. So maybe not right away. On the lighter side, as we long suspected, we have confirmed this week that Melania did not arrive at the White House when our presidents was installed. And we wondered why. Well, we knew she didn't want to spend too much time with him. But nobody believed it was because she wanted Barron to finish school. And we also kind of thought maybe she has a lover that she is spending some quality time with. And all of that could be true. But she was also getting her prenuptial agreement done. Redone, that is. In the sense that it was already done. But now that she had to stick around as First Lady, she needed it redone. A little more. So anybody that feels sorry for Melania being imprisoned, remember her shirt. She really doesn't care. She's getting paid. And speaking of the Trumpus, I'm going to give him a little whipping here. Just in time for Pride Month, the Trumpus has the temerity, he's always got temerity, but this time it's against the LGBTQ community. Not that it's not the first time, but not that it is the first time. But yes, we are whipping him because he has rolled back the Obama-era non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people in health care and health insurance at a time when it is particularly important. We are in a pandemic, Trumpus. And it's, I mean, why do you think I'm wearing all these rainbows? It's Pride Month. And remember, Pride Month is the celebration of a revolution, the Stonewall Rebellion. Sometimes you gotta do it. Even sissies got some strength, and it was a lot of sissies, a lot of trans people rebelling in that Stonewall Rebellion. And we can all be grateful for their strength. And speaking of the pandemic, yes, things are opening up in America as death counts are going up in America. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters. Just passing 117,000 COVID-19 deaths in America today. Now, this is exciting, I think. And you may enjoy your freedom, you know, and you may want to be really free. And that might mean to you the freedom to go without a mask, to go maskless among the people, whether you go get a haircut or to the gym or to the restaurant or to the bar, you know, show yourself. Is that really freedom, though? Freedom to get sick. Okay, I get it. You can get sick. But really, we wear a mask to protect our neighbors, to protect the people that we live with, and to protect the people that we interact with. Not just for ourselves. So anybody, I saw a video today of this woman calling another woman a pussy. And, you know, I think pussies are beautiful. So I actually don't think a pussy is an insult. But she meant it as an insult. And she called her a pussy for wearing a mask. And if you want to call me a pussy, you go right ahead. I'm proud to be a pussy. And if you mean it in a negative way, well, you're another part of the anatomy around on the other side. And then she coughed on the woman. Well, whoever said it's all about toxic male energy hasn't seen women like this. Let me say, there are some women out there that are out to get you. Seriously, it is frightening. I mean, toxic male energy is real, and so is toxic female energy. Very real. Whew. And why is it that these people who refuse to go maskless, who insist on going without a mask, I mean, not all of them, but most of them are not very attractive? I mean, I know. It's opinion. And I don't mean to ugly shame you mask haters. Or maybe I do. For your own health and the health of your loved ones and the health of people around you. I mean, I do notice, really, that the more attractive people, like a lot of celebrities, it just seems like it. A lot of the protesters, the young people, well, certain young people. It depends. Maybe it's just me, but I think they're more attractive. Or maybe I think it's just attractive to see those eyes and wonder what's underneath. It's a mystery. I mean, why do you have to show everything? You have to show your genitalia? Obviously, you don't have to show that. I mean, sometimes I'd rather see that than your face, especially in a pandemic. Show me your family jewels. But don't show me that spitting snout of yours, please. Keep it to yourself. And if you must not wear a mask, okay, just don't be spitting and coughing. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying this. I should just spank your ass. Woo! Anyway, here we are. Masked and beautiful. And ready for another stimulating sapiosexual bedside chat. And by the way, that person that asked that question before, you can tell him to watch something else, because now I am going to have my guests and I don't want him part of this. And in fact, why don't you block him? Or you can't block him. You're not online. I will block him later. You know, folks, if you don't like what I've got to say, there are plenty of other podcasts out there, and I'd be very happy to have you tune into them. And yes, I talk about sex, and I am happy for those of you that are interested in sex and in seeing my sexy guests and in enjoying the sexy banter to partake. But if all you want is sex, if that's it, you've got Pornhub, you've got plenty of other sexperts out there that never talk about politics. You don't need me. So stay away. That's the beauty of the World Wide Web. There's a whole world of possibilities. And you don't need to ask me to fit into your square hole if I'm a round peg. You square. So, I'm going to take my guess. I also have a call, but I think I'll take my guess. So, but I will give out the phone number, which is 626-461-5212. But I will make the request that if you call tonight, that your questions or comments have to do with my guests. I know I'm being very strict tonight. I love it. And I am excited to talk to my guests. I have two very, very interesting, sexy guests. And my first guest is zooming in with us all the way from London town. And she is the lovely, the beautiful, the exquisite and sultry Mistress Amrita. Welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show. I will take down my mask because now everybody is far away from me. We're all maintaining social distancing. Well, actually physical distancing. Socially, we're very connected. And I am connecting with Mistress Amrita. So I'm so happy to have you on my 12th bedside chat, Mistress Amrita. You look beautiful in a latex top.
This is red latex, you can see.
Uh-huh, it's a beautiful latex.
Dr. Susan, I really like your fashion. Really
thank
pretty
you.
And the colorful.
Thank you. I know that was a compliment, but I couldn't hear what she said because...
Yes. So, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
So, I really like your fashion. Very colorful and sexy. And yes. Really,
well,
I like your style.
Thank you. I appreciate that because your sense of fashion is incredible. Just
thank you.
So beautiful. And I am dressed for Gay Pride Month, you know, it's LGBTQ
yes. You wear
Pride.
Rainbow color.
Rainbow colors, exactly. Yeah. You have quite a beautiful sense of fashion, and it's so whimsical and kinky at the same
yes.
time. You are an international dominatrix. A femdom,
yes.
a fetish performance artist, and a
yes.
model. Tell us about what you do as such a profession.
I have several faces in my profession. The first one is I'm international dominatrix.
Yes.
So I have sub clients all over the world. I'm based in London for the moment, but I travel to European countries.
And you're
and
from
some other places.
You're from Japan.
And then I'm fetish performer. So yes. I make performance in the fetish parties all around the world. I've done fetish performance in 26 countries.
Wow. And you were born in Japan?
Yes, I was born in Japan.
Uh-huh. And raised there?
Yes. So I got education there. Then later, I got into traveling. I'm a world traveler. So now I've been to 107 countries, which is quite something. Then I started my career in Japan. But after a few years, I wanted to see the fetish scene and the SM scene in abroad. And I started to travel for that reason too.
And why did you become a dominatrix?
Ah, yes. Many people ask me this question. In Japan, everybody can imagine, it's a men's society.
Yes.
And then, you know, men take the dominant role and the woman follows three steps behind or something.
Like a geisha.
It's not always like that. I think some Japanese men, they have fantasy about the strong and independent woman. And then they can sense this kind of woman. Uh-huh. When I was very young, I got chat up by the guy who has submissive fantasy. And then he wanted to be dominated by me. And that was my first experience. I didn't know what to do, but maybe I had the sense and I did it very well. And then I enjoyed it. And then later, I started to go to nightclubs where there's a drag queens or some interesting performers. And I started to meet the people in the same scene. And then I got my first SM video job because I had a sort of a mistress atmosphere, mistress look for them.
Okay, yes. Of course, we often associate Japan with the geisha girl.
Yes.
And yes, the more submissive woman and the man who's like in charge and, you know, sumo wrestlers and strong men. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's got to be wherever there's one, you know, an extreme, there's the other side, you know. So I'm not surprised that there would be a strong need in Japan for strong women. Because
yes. So nowadays we have more strong women and independent women because time has changed like everywhere else.
Yeah.
So I think the mistresses are more accepted compared to years ago.
And your name, I mean, it means
yes.
Female nectar or female ejaculation in Hindi. But you, I hear it comes from a rock band that you were in? Amrita?
It's not a rock band, but I'm originally amateur singer in Japan.
Okay.
I had a lot of gig in Tokyo. Then we were doing ethnic pops, and then we had a lot of influence from ethnic music, including Indian instrument like tabla and sitar, and then Indian beat. So, and then my music partner, he brought this name, Amrita, and then we formed the band name, Amrita Magenta. And then I checked the meaning of the name. Like you said, the Amrita means the nectar for eternal life. And I really like this meaning. And then later I took this name as an artist name and the mistress name. But it makes sense to me because I do femdom dominatrix job for the therapy reason too. And I offer therapy to the sub guys and then make their fantasy come true and they relieve their stress and make them feel better. So I like this name for my profession.
And do they get to drink your nectar, your Amrita? Or
I didn't include this for this name, but I didn't know that this Amrita means female ejaculation. So you taught me now.
Okay. Yeah, look it up. It does. But yes. It's a great name. It's a beautiful word, the way that it sounds, just all the syllables, Amrita. I love it. And so what would you say is your specialty as a dominatrix?
My specialty is the Japanese rope bondage. I have my ropes. I like colorful, so I color my robes. Yes. I make my robe by myself. So the many people, they don't know about the bondage difference between Western bondage and Japanese bondage. I can tell you a bit about the history, because I checked it.
Tell me.
So in 17th to 19th centuries, in the samurai period, Japan didn't have the metal handcuffs, but they needed something to restrain the criminals, and then they used the ropes, and then they developed this skill. And the interesting thing is, they made a detailed rule to make the bondage, different bondage to different people, like a different age or sex or type of the crime or status, and they had a different way of the bondage. That's how they started the Japanese style bondage, but it was nothing sexual. But later, in 19th century, late 19th century, there was a Japanese painter, a little erotic Shunga style painting, I think. He made the painting of the female prisoner, sexy female prisoner in the bondage. And then men started to get aroused. And then that was the beginning of the sexual-oriented bondage.
Right.
Then they started to make the magazine in late 40s about the maniac sex, including SM. Then from that time, I heard many Japanese rope masters in Japan. I'm a rope artist, female rope artist, but they are really great grandmasters of the bondage. They all learn from this magazine. They have published this magazine since the late 40s.
Uh-huh.
That's a history.
And so the Japanese bondage that you practice, you call it shibari?
Shibari and kimbaku is the name for Japanese bondage.
We had we've had a few guests on who talk about that and who demonstrate that, such as our guest Professor Oni. He does kinbaku bondage, which he just says is just like shibari, except it's precisely for erotic purposes.
Yes, because the Japanese bondage originally they invented for the capturing purpose or torture purpose for the criminal, and then at that time it was quite risky and then painful bondage. But later, we develop in a different way. It's more like artistic and sensual and no risk. So, yeah, we develop from the ancient bondage, but it's a different thing, I can say.
Well, I know you don't want to talk about politics, but I got to say, just offhand, if our police would just use, like, shibari bondage instead of tackling and killing people as much as they do, I think we'd all be better off. They should learn maybe how to do rope bondage.
Yes, probably it's safer than the other dangerous tools they have.
Right. It seems like it would be. I mean, it definitely would be, and it just takes more skill. You got to learn how to do that. You don't need to have skill to just slap on some handcuffs, tackle somebody, but you need to have skill.
Japanese bondage, we need to learn the skill because safety is very important.
Yes.
And when I teach my skill to my private clients, I'm teaching couples and so on. First thing I teach is safety technique. How to untie the unbondaged rope when partner is not feeling well, and then like hands start to feel cold. So that's very important. So
very important.
By just watching the YouTube link or book, probably they can't learn the safety question enough.
And, this is very important for, of course, people that are playing, whether you're dominatrix or you're playing, consensual partners, just without any money exchanging hands. Either way, safety is number one. But what? It should also be number one for police. I think there should be a dominatrix that teaches a lesson in how to tie people up to some of our police departments.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Okay. we certainly have to overhaul things. So would you say, I've been talking about sadism and consensual. Do you think of yourself as a sadist? Do you like to cause pain? I mean, consensually, I know. But do you like that feeling?
Yes. As long as it's consensual, I really enjoy that. And I'm really good at reading the people's mind and then, you know, go in their head and then what they like and then they extend their limit or fantasy. I really enjoy that, this kind of psychological game. But I don't want to force people to take the pain that they don't want. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not that much sadist, but I really enjoy SM game.
Well, you're a consensual sadist, you know. I think that there's a huge difference between a sadist that wants to do things just for their own pleasure, just to hurt someone, and a sadist that wants to give someone pain, but in a consensual way that is like pleasure, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, for me, it's pleasure to give pain, and then they are happy, and I'm happy too.
I love the picture of you that's on the slave who's playing a horse. Where do we have that one? Do we have the horse picture? Yes.
Yes. This is from the video shoot. They have the special facility in countryside. And then they have facility like a horse pony barn where we park the horse and we can do the pony game. We can't do this everywhere, but I really enjoyed that because that was a special opportunity.
Yes, and there are lots of submissives out there who like to be non-human animals. You know, they like to release an animal of some sort, a pet or a horse or a dog.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, so some people has this kind of pony fantasy. And then a lot of people, they have dog fantasy. They want to be treated like dog. And
like
some people
duck?
Really play well, and they make like a dog voice and then dog movements. I really enjoy. So I really like I'm doing dog training. It's an interesting power exchange game.
Well, that is interesting. You know, we're comparing police and dominatrixes. And let's compare like men and dogs. Like have you ever trained a real pet, like a real dog?
No, I never done that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you would be able to now. Yes. But you train human dogs, human pets.
Yes, human dogs.
Yes. And what's your secret? How do you train them?
To play this kind of role play, any kinds of role play, and we have to really play seriously. And I'm a performer myself, so I can do that well. I feel like I'm doing the performance for them, just for this this sub guy, then I really have to seriously think I'm their owner, this dog's owner.
Yes.
Then if I'm laughing or you know I'm thinking something else, it doesn't go serious enough. So this is a most important point. Then, but the other thing it come into my mind if I really think this sub guy in front of me is my dog. I have to train. All the idea come up. Like if I clap one hand one time and they, he has to turn, then clap her hand two times and he has to give the paw. So I tell the rule seriously, and then I okay do something. Okay, then so they follow it. We shouldn't hesitate. We have to really go right into their mind. Then play act out their fantasy.
Yes, the way you describe it, it sounds like, you know, acting. I mean, it's interesting how similar role play and domination in terms of role play is to acting. And, you know, of course, we're here in L.A., Hollywood, so there's a lot of actors. And I think some actors become dominatrixes or get into this partly because they enjoy playing roles and they're good at it.
Yes, I'm sure they have really a potential to become a good dominatrix if they want, because they can really act well and they can really feel themselves as a different personality or like a play the role play. And the acting is all about that. So I'm sure they can be a good dominatrix.
So how would you compare the different cultures like Japan to
England to other places, America, I don't know. How are there different cultural preferences for different fetishes or different types of domination?
Yes, I went all around the places. So the first of all, Japan, sub guys are more polite than but they are more polite and quiet and obedient.
Okay.
And they
Makes
are more
sense.
Into Japanese bondage because this is from our culture.
Uh-huh.
Then, but funny thing about Japanese the sub guys, they are more into the girl next door kind of mistresses. The mistress like me, it's a bit too much for them. And they feel like, oh, maybe she's too famous or like I'm too insignificant. And they got scared. They have this tendency.
And where and is this?
There are lots of...
In Japan, they want more of a girl next door type.
Yes, something like that. So they don't... I'm not that popular in Japan for the sub guys. And I'm popular as a performer, but when I come out to Western country, the people like me because I have the look of the Oriental Asian dominatrix. Mm. Then they like something exotic. Then Japanese mistress is famous for being a good mistress, I think many people told me. And then in Western culture, it's more into related to dungeon because dungeon is from the history. Like handcuffs or like St. Andrew's Cross or spanking bench. So I did lots of dungeon session in Western country. So that's more popular. Mm-hmm. Then, but of course I'm a rope artist, so rope specialist. So many people ask me to do the rope bondage instead of tying them to the cross or bench. And for the play wise, I think the people in cold countries, they are more into SM. And the warmer countries like France or south of France, Italy, Spain, they have so much pleasure in their daily life, like dancing or the going outside and beach. So they are not so much into SM. The colder countries like Germany or England or Netherlands, they are more serious.
That's very interesting. Those countries also maybe are more punishing? I mean...
Maybe. Yeah, they like discipline.
Yes. Yeah, well, English are famous for liking to be spanked.
Ah, yes.
Get their knickers pulled
spanking
down.
Spanking and the caning, too.
Yes, caning, yeah. Spanking, or with the switch. You know, it's a tradition. It's a long tradition in England. And America's got some crazy traditions that inform our fetishes. In the warmer countries, maybe a little more sensuous, I guess you could say.
And I have a good example. The good country for vacation, like Italy, Greece, beach holiday, they're somehow into foot fetish.
Oh.
Because I think women show more feet and then they wear colorful high heel in those countries.
Yes.
So men are fantasize about feet. And then foot fetish session is not hardcore, so maybe they can easily get into that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now in terms of Japan, Sunshine spent some time in Japan, didn't you, Sunshine? Are you on your microphone?
I spent a little time in Japan.
Okay, you don't want to talk about it? Or you did you have, I mean, I guess you've said that the Japanese have some interesting qualities, like being maybe more polite, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're more polite. I think if they really want something, they would be scared to say it. I think maybe Western guys, you have the phrase "doming from the bottom." That would be, I think that would happen more in Western culture than Eastern culture, but that's just what I've seen. I haven't done a lot of dom work like she's done, so.
Right.
She might would have more experience with it. But I definitely did have the experience where she said, Japan, I'm not that popular. They think I'm too famous and I'm too insignificant. I definitely think, like, in Japan, they can have this insecurity where it's like, if they think somebody's bigger or famous than them, they can have an insecurity very quickly, whereas maybe they don't get that in America. I thought it was really interesting. She said dungeons are more popular in Western cultures. Mm-hmm. I was like, the minute she said it, I was like, okay, that makes sense. But I thought it was, oh, that's really interesting. Dungeons are more popular in Western cultures for dom work. And I don't know, I guess Eastern cultures, maybe they don't think about it.
Well, I think humans are humans all over the world. But at the same time, those love hotels, that's really popular in Japan, right? Or is it still popular, the love hotels?
Yes, love hotels is a part of the couple's life because they don't have the big apartment or they live with parents. They need a place to have sex. They won't have privacy. They don't want to have sex in the place where their families is.
But do you ever meet as a dominatrix with a client in a love hotel? I would think that might be.
Yeah, often. Because Sunshine was mentioning about the dungeon. Okay, so dungeon is popular in Western countries. And then surprisingly, dungeon is sort of illegal in Japan. Because they don't have license for it. Instead of a dungeon, we have to use love hotels. And then few love hotels, they have dungeon setting in the room. So we use that, but just ordinary lab hotel with the bed and the big television, big bath, that's where we normally offer the private SM session in Japan.
Well, it is interesting to hear about the differences. At the same time, we all need sex, and many of us enjoy some kind of kink. So that's true all over the world. What are your future plans, if any? I mean, it's the corona apocalypse, so it's hard to make plans. But what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do next?
Downtown in LA, are you coming?
This lockdown situation. Because of lockdown and social distancing thing, I can't have the private session. Then I had to take a look at my work in the different perspectives. I do lots of online session now, like webcam or email session, custom video and the customer picture. And then finally, I started to have my only fan. I needed some time to set it up, but I was traveling so much and I never had time. So now I have time to do all the online thing. Mm. So in this respect, it's good. But for income-wise, it went down a lot, this lockdown.
Yeah.
But I think online session is our future. It's better to
Everybody's doing OnlyFans.
Okay, so on OnlyFans, you are onlyfans.com/Mistress Amrita.
Yes.
All right.
Onlyfans.com, Mistress Emery.
I put all the pictures throughout my history and all the interesting fetish performance in the colorful costume and all the SM play I did. So I decided to put everything in OnlyFans. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody should go there to get the special photos. So we've got to go, but just before we go, I had a special request from the in-studio crowd for you to say, please watch the Dr. Susan Block Show in Japanese.
皆さん、ぜひドクター・スーザン・ブロックのショーを見てください。よろしく。
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to have to trust that you write.
ありがとうございました。
That's awesome. You are awesome.
Thank you.
And you're beautiful and so artistic. I love your designs and your fashions and just how you present yourself. And it is definitely the kind of domination for those who appreciate great beauty.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck to you. And I hope to have you back on Zoom or in person, whatever. Yes, very nice.
Come to DomCon in LA, and you can really be on the show.
DomCon in LA. Thank you, Sunshine. Have you ever been to DomCon in LA?
Not yet, but I've heard it's a nice event.
It's a nice event.
So huge.
And this year, if all goes well and they have it and the COVID doesn't take over everybody, I will be the mistress of ceremonies. I'm excited. Anyway, we'll talk more and we'll be in touch. You take care. Mistress Amrita. Nectar of the Goddess. Yes, indeed. And you are tuned to the Dr. Susan Block Show. It's our 12th bedside chat of the coronapocalypse.
She reminded me of our office manager who became an international dom.
Yes, actually. And she is also an Asian lady.
But she's Chinese.
Chinese, exactly. And she's amazing. I don't know how she's doing in the coronapocalypse, but... Right before that, I know she was doing incredibly well as an international dominatrix. And also another very artistic person. I do think a lot of artists, it's almost like a lot of artists who maybe can't make a living as a regular, quote-unquote, artist, realize they can do it as a private artist, or as Tina Turner used to say, private dancer. So anyway, I just saw my next beautiful guest, and she is on webcam here, zooming in from Florida, I believe, and she is Brianna Blair, a.k.a. Cashmere, a.k.a. Bay Charles. Bay Charles, hello.
Is that your finger in the camera? Oh, that's a sexy finger.
Are you holding that camera, Bay?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So right out the gate, we should say Bay is blind. Yeah. But, I mean, my God, that barely sums up anything about you. But it does give us a place to go from. You are amazing, as far as I could see, the little I could see of you. And it's funny how often we use that word see.
Oh,
we don't even mean see, but it's we take it for granted. But
I can get to know. I don't know.
You are a blind stripper and rapper and a young MILF. And a bit of a comedian as well. So
sounds like a Renaissance woman.
Welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show. And
Sunshine. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. You look great.
I'm a huge fan of yours, actually. You had one of my favorite authors on not too long ago.
Oh, thank you. One of your favorite authors I had on?
My favorite sex novelist. She told me not to say her name, but it was probably about 3-4 months ago.
Oh.
Okay, so I was here. Oh my God, who is that? Your favorite sex author?
We'll have to look it up.
Someone from Florida?
Yes, she's from Florida.
Okay, we had an author from Florida. Who is,
I don't know, but I want to hear about Brianna. Or do you want us to call you Brianna or Cashmere or Bay?
What do you like?
It doesn't matter. You can call me whatever. I do like being called Cashmere. Because I've always said I'm kind of cut from a different fabric and I'm a little bougietto. So.
And Cashmere is very soft.
It is. And my skin is soft too. My customers love it.
Yeah. So.
And Bay Charles is a nickname that was given to me.
Right. By Lovely Tea. Who made one of your videos go viral, a video that some gals at the strip club took of you standing up for yourself, which I thought was very cool.
At the time tonight, a customer had to come in and tell me what a bitch done said out their mouth about me.
I think they lying.
No, because I heard this shit.
Bro, why did you fucking do that?
Let the bitch know to keep my name out her mouth before I snatch her tongue out of her.
Oh, you heard it? Or ass butts.
Okay. Don't tell my customer shit about me. Whatever the fuck you got to tell my customer, bitch, you can say it to me.
Light skin, motherfucking ass.
Tell them again. So I'm going to leave it alone at that. So if you feel froggy, bitch.
Period. You going to see how to beat up.
A bitch running her mouth has the wrong bitch name of her mouth. You want to say blind this and blind that and what I am and what I'm not. Bitch, I am blind, but I will beat your ass like I can.
I will say that it was cool that you, you know, you just said, look, I might be blind, but I can hold my own, and you can't be bullying me. I mean, I know I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, you got to stand up for yourself, mm-hmm. and those strip clubs can be vicious places.
Oh, yeah, they're real cutthroat environments, and they really don't care who you are, where you come from, what you have going on, because at the end of the day, it's more of a greed situation. I've been told by a lot of dancers, employers, bartenders, a lot of people, they're like, you just don't belong here because you're not a bitch.
I got the same thing.
Yeah, you got the same thing. Yeah, Sunshine's been a stripper, more of a peep show performer.
Mostly peep shows, but I tried to dance at a few strip clubs. I danced in Guam at a strip club for like 8 months, and I tried to dance at a strip club in Seattle. I tried Portland. Mostly peep shows.
So you are in Florida. Have you always been in Florida, Kashmir?
Actually, I'm originally from Miami, but I was a military kid, so I've traveled everywhere. I've been as high north as upstate New York to as far west coast as Sacramento, California, Alaska, things of those natures, Bronx, Texas, everywhere.
So we just talked to an international dominatrix, and you are a supernatural national, a super. You're also maybe supernatural, but maybe. You are certainly supernational stripper. But before we get to you becoming a stripper, how did you get to be blind? I mean, you weren't born blind, is that right?
No, I wasn't. I actually was, born with an type of eye disease. And as a small child, it wasn't really a major issue. We didn't really know what the problem was because when it was first caught, it was caught in 2003. I was only 5. And that's when it was diagnosed as an eye cancer, not just a regular disease, but it was a cancer. And that was a misdiagnosis, which led into further issues. So around the time I was maybe 9, like knocking on 10, they were like, oh, well, we think she has this disease that we found somewhere in Africa. And it's like, okay, thank you. And this is back in 2008 when like flip phones were a thing, y'all. So technology was nowhere where it was back then, where it is now. So the research and the estimating, it was all basically a bunch of guesses. There was no validation for anything. Mm-hmm. It was mostly like a coin flip. So eventually they told me, they're like, well, you know, after 32 procedures, there's not much left we can do. She's just going to have to be blind for the rest of her life and learn how to cope with it.
Well, you have certainly learned how to cope with it. What an ordeal to go through, but you've certainly come out smelling like a rose. I mean, I can't smell you, but you look like a rose.
I
use Summer's Eve, so I try to.
Yeah.
So do they have a diagnosis now?
No, they still don't know what it is.
They still, and so there's no way to repair it, or, oh my God.
There's no way to reverse it or any of that. I'm actually one of 7 people in America who have it.
Oh, really? Only have you found these people like on Facebook or something where you can compare notes? I know that sounds strange, but you can learn a lot
from
them.
It's not strange because I've actually done it. Like I've done my research just to see if maybe they were having some of the same problems I did, or if there was some kind of information I can a watch out information for them, or what if information for them, or if they can give me anything as far as how I could have looked into it differently, if there's any possibilities. But I'm not bragging when I say this, but when it comes down to vision loss, there's a certain number of people. You have to be a particular individual to be and have a certain level of resilience to get over losing your vision. So a lot of them were basically like, you know, it's not something I want to talk about. It's not something I want to face. It's not something I want to deal with. And I'm just like, okay, thank you. Anyways.
Yeah. So you think, like, they mentally shut down and they just, yeah.
In my opinion, yeah.
So what is the name of the disease or the affliction?
Current diagnosis?
Or not the diagnosis?
Myopic sensus.
Ah, no wonder I forgot what it is. What's it called again?
High myopic tensis.
Oh, high myopic tensis. Okay. Wow. Well, so you, I mean, did it take you a long time? Were you like in trauma for years? Or was it more like you're just so resilient, you just kept bouncing?
It's a little bit of both. I really didn't have a chance to, because even before vision loss, my upbringing really wasn't the best. My mom was a single parent with a bunch of babies and trying to get us ready for school. And since I was one of the older ones who could help look out, that was something that I was basically, when she wasn't home, I was mom. I was big sister. Wow. Basically. I'm not going to say I was mom. She kicked my ass. She wouldn't say that. But I was the big sister. So it was a lot of looking out I had to do. So when I first lost it, I'd probably say the first 3 days, the first 72 hours, I did nothing but hibernate in my room, because I was 10 being told, hey, you'll never be able to see the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And just going home. Wow. To paintings that I had been working on, never finished, drawings, puzzles, things of that nature. And so one day my mom was like, as crazy as this might sound, this family's been through a lot worse. She's like, well, as long as you have your memory, you can still do it. And she basically told me, because she was like, well, how am I supposed to be okay with you being like this and in this slump, and one day I could walk out the door and I die, then what are you going to do? Who's going to take care of you and your brothers and sisters, and how are you going to make it, because all they're going to do is stick you in a home? And I didn't like how that sounded.
Well, kind of tough love, but at the same time, it is love, and you needed to be pushed a bit, and you got pushed, and you've been bouncing ever since, I guess, on some level.
Yeah, she, a lot of people, especially after my, most recent exposure to same and everything, a lot of people try to bash her. They're like, oh, well, that was real abusive, that was really negligent, that was really this, that was really that. But it's like, at the same time, had she not done what she did, I don't know how I would have turned out.
Yeah,
I really don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I mean, abusive, I don't know. I didn't hear about abuse, but I do hear a tough love, and I do hear that it's a tough situation that you were in. And
and I had to look at it like I wasn't the only one going through it. She was too.
Yes. And that's true. And, we're all, that whole idea that we're all in this together, well, that's not really true of anything. But it is true that we're in this, meaning our life, with other people, with people that care about us and people that we're involved with. And so she gave you an interesting, valuable lesson there. And anyway, here you are, and you're, kind of world famous. You're, standing up for yourself, and I'm sure inspiring a lot of people who are differently abled and not sighted. And I mean, one thing that we can see with you that I have always believed is true is if you lack something, then you build up something else. And when you it's like sensory deprivation. When you're deprived, and you're deprived of your sight, so you become very sensitive about your feeling and your hearing. And I guess maybe smell.
I call it the Charles Darwin chapter, because, Charles Darwin was the philosopher who actually discovered the theory, developed the theory of natural selection and survival of the fittest. And that's basically what it is. It's not like I'm being thrown out into a pack of wolves. It's basically my one sense is now gone. So automatically my other senses become more keener, because it's basically how I survive. It's how I go about. It's how I live.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
honestly, I enjoy it. Like, I've had plenty of doctors ask me, is there anything I can do? You know, I do it for free. But honestly, I really am comfortable. I'm comfortable with being blind for the simple fact.
Interesting.
You know, it's just, there's a lot that sighted people, not bashing you all, but there's just a lot that they don't see based off
miss.
Of the fact that they don't have that extra dependency.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
Can you give us an example? I'm so curious now. Like what? Like, I don't know.
Well, I can give you a good one. There's actually this study, and I actually went to this camp and did it because I thought it was stupid and crazy. But there was this study. They took six people out into the wilderness. Two of them were deaf. Two of them were blind. Two of them were paraplegic. And the other two had no physical ailments. And they toss them in the wilderness for 7 days to see how they'd actually get along and do out there on their own, and to see basically who would be. I think they really just want to see which one of us crack first. And
that makes sense.
I participated, and yeah, it was me and another blind young lady. Her name was Raven. Her and I were the only two that actually made it out. You know?
Wow! Good for you.
That's amazing.
So there was wildlife, and they were like, you're not in danger. It's only like, you know, wild dogs, not the ones that are going to attack you or anything like that. But, you know, you have to watch out for them, listen out for them, and use your skills so you don't, like, get your food eaten. And a lot of the sighted ones were like, oh, well, I'll just look through this clearing right here because obviously they're going to come through the clearing. And it's like, no, dummy, they're animals.
Yeah.
They're not going to, like, hey, I'm wide ass open. You know?
Right. That's a good point. And also, you know, when you're out in the night, it's like nobody can see.
Yeah, nobody
can. And so you're at an advantage because you already know how to function
without
it's dark, you know, and nobody can, and you can't see. Do you see darkness or do you see a blur or whiteness or darkness?
It's all darkness. And it's funny you say that because only time I really understood when it was the night, because the air changes, the sounds changes, you know, day goes to bed, night wakes up,
yeah.
You hear owls, the cicadas turn into crickets, you know, little small details like that.
Because
other than that, I'd really never really noticed. They'd be like, oh my God, it's nightfall. I'm like, oh, it is? Okay.
So cutting to the chase, how did you decide to become a stripper?
Yeah. How'd this happen?
Okay, well, so I'm not going to be one of those people that are going to come for the government's neck about their incomes, but I am a disabled individual, and I once upon a time received a monthly income, but I want to take this opportunity to clear this up because there are a lot of people that have the wrong idea about the Social Security checks, disability checks, whatever you want to call them. They think it's like this big old chunk of money, and it's really not. It's good because it's a guaranteed income and it gets you, you know, where you need to be kind of, but it's also bad because it pays just enough of your bills for you to realize that you are barely scraping through the struggle. Mm.
It's just like all the other help, right? It's like,
yeah,
if you give food stamps, it'll help you out a little
much,
bit. But not
so
really.
That's just like all the other reasons that people become strippers. Mm-hmm. I mean, is mostly to make money, to earn a living, and whatever reason they need it. But of course, there are different ways to earn a living, I guess you could say. And I guess you know, I mean, my opinion is, why wouldn't you be great at being a stripper? Because you don't need to see. We need to see you. And
basically,
although it's, again, like being in the wilderness. I mean, you can't see the pole. You have to kind of feel the pole. I mean,
it's actually better. It makes it better because it's crazy to how this might sound, but I've noticed a lot of the sighted dancers, you know, like whether it be music playing, a song they like, the rhythm, everything else. When you actually are visually impaired, you can't, because I couldn't see what the other dancers were doing. I didn't know what twerking was. I didn't know what pole tricks were. It's just about being more emotionally involved with the music and with your environment.
Oh, wow.
And you just kind of feed off the vibes you're getting.
Well, one thing I know as someone who performs occasionally is something that can distract any performer is looking at the people in the audience. and seeing their expressions, whether they're good or bad. It's like, you start to think, but you don't have that distraction. You can just get into what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, it only gets weird when I can feel the customers just staring at me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, handful of singles, yes, no.
And so now we saw how you count your money or how you determine that, you know, because a lot of people would think, oh, she's blind. I could give her a $1 bill and tell her it's $100, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a, you know, a little device that takes a picture, and I mean, your phone, basically.
And it happens before. It's happened a few times, but I have a whole system because a lot of people think that, like, strippers are, like, they're entitled to do certain things for them, and then they pay them because the customer knows that they have what we want, they have what we need. So there's, like, this sense of entitlement. So with a lot of the sighted dancers, he's like, okay, you know, dance for me, then I'll tip you, do a VIP or a champagne room with me, then I'll tip you. Me, on the other hand, you know, there's been situations where the sighted girls have been cheated out of the money. So I tell all of my customers, when you go to Publix where shopping is a pleasure, you know, they don't give you your groceries first before you pay for them. So
yeah.
Well,
I'm going to need for you to, you know, cop some cash, and I scan it right then and there.
All right.
Make sure it's accurate, and then he gets his dance and his entertainment. Because I can't go chase him down, or he says, oh, let me run to the ATM real quick, and he walks out the front door. Then I'm out of, like, probably a lump sum for money.
So you are not just a stripper, although we love strippers. You could just be a stripper. We'd be thrilled with you. But you're also a rapper, right?
Yeah, I'm a little sproutling in the rap community.
Okay.
A sproutling.
Should we have you do a rap a cappella, or should we play one? I think we might have one on.
I definitely sent one.
Okay.
Wow.
So
okay.
We could play it. Here she is, Cashmere, on the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Everybody said no to me. Shoulder zero degrees of blind strip, rapping bad money. That's a joke to be. Then I started focusing. Haters started noticing. Now they want to show me all love. Let us speak straight, Jodeci. Hate a host, instigate. Rate a host, intimidate a sad bitch. Eliminate a bad bitch, authenticate. You bitches seen better days. Agree me like your wedding day. Check your best prep and play blind mice, cheddar chase. Remember when you told me there's no room in your crib? Well, now, Brie Blaze eating messy, bitch. Here goes your bib. When I step up on the scene, I'm the life of your party. You niggas tryna attack me cause you stuck on my body. You want a bad bitch, call a boobie in your body. I'm a banging ass bitch, Nikki just ain't not me. Feeling like I'm Demi, bitch, sorry, not sorry. Crannin' Henny, really on my wrist, I might cop a Rari. More classic than a roast, 57 that I be. Bitches ready for my clickbait, I feel like I Carly. Fuck your comeback, Beyblade bomb that. I'm that bitch who up your song stat. There's no combat, I guess you can't stomp that. It ain't my fault that you jumped in the wrong match. Flex like a strong mat, on a man, I'm Comcast. Blind baby made it, now you bitches on me contact. I know you really hate it, boo, I know you didn't want that. I took all your smoke, and you won't get your bong back. What I roll you in, it's all you hoes just dubs. I got a family, my bars pay the bills. Must keep flow for my blood. I'm going places you've never been. I'm greater, you're lesser than. I run down pedestrians, niggas on estrogen. Come for the pelicans, I'm popcorn your gelatin. I eat you a skeleton, hashtag irrelevant. He trippin' and chippin', and bitch get no slippin'. Believe when it come to my checks, niggas snippin'. My attitude keep bitches blue like they crippin'. Collect all my chips and then bait, I was dippin'. Out here to get it, believe it, I got it. Hoes a Big Mac, keepin' checks for my pocket. Mackers and niggas put checks in my pocket. I body the money, hoes wanna cop it. Remember when you told me there's no room in your crib? Well now, Brie Blaze eating messy, bitch. Here goes your bib. When I step up on the scene, I'm the life of your party. You niggas tryna attack me cause you stuck on my body. You want a bad bitch, call a Brie in your body. I'm a banging ass bitch, Nikki just ain't not me. Feeling like I'm Demi, bitch, sorry, not sorry. Crannin' Henny, really on my wrist, I might cop a Rari. More classic than a roast, 57 that I be. Bitches ready for my clickbait, I feel like I Carly. Fuck your comeback, Brie Blaze bomb that. I'm that bitch who upped your song stat. There's no combat, I guess you can't stomp that. It ain't my fault that you jumped in the wrong match. Flex like a strong mat, on a man, I'm Comcast. Blind baby made it, now you bitches on me contact. I know you really hate it, boo, I know you didn't want that. I took all your smoke, and you won't get your bong back. Fuck your comeback, replay bomb that. I'm that bitch who upped your song stat. There's no combat, I guess you can't stomp that. It ain't my fault that you jumped in the wrong match. Flex like a strong mat, on a man, I'm Comcast. Blind baby made it, now you bitches on me contact. I know you really hate it, boo, I know you didn't want that. I took all your smoke, and you won't get your bong back. Bay Charles in the building, the BBTO. Bad bitch, take over.
Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Bay Charles, Cashmere. AKA Breonna Blair. Wow, that's amazing, girl. That's really... That's some clickbait. Yeah, that is not hashtag irrelevant. Yeah. that was awesome. Really, really. I'm very impressed. You got to do a video with yourself.
I have to. I'm actually in the process of doing it for the July weekend.
Yeah.
COVID-19 is almost over here.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. You are multi-talented. And you got to come out with it. By the way, have you been to any protests? Are you involved in the Black Lives Matter?
Nope. I'm going to mind my neck and keep my coochie to herself. Nope.
Okay.
Is Florida having a lot of protests, or do you think it's more rioting? Or
I think, and this is just my honest opinion because of the city I'm in Duval County. I think it's just a lot of people seeing something being done everywhere else and just deciding they want to do it, but not having any moral reasons behind why. They just want to tear shit up.
Huh. That's kind of what I thought about my hometown, too. But maybe here it's different in L.A. because people have this.
Well, it's just so big. There's a lot of people involved. And people have very different reasons. And some people are genuine. And some people, I guess, are there for the party. I mean, after all, they got nothing to do in the corona apocalypse. So sometimes that's what it's all about. No school, no work. And
it's like
there.
Everybody's bored.
But yeah, that's some of it. But hey, there's a lot of bad police brutality out there that I think a lot of people are fed up with. I know I am.
But Dr. Susan, could I share an opinion?
Yeah. What?
I don't, and I usually don't get into like writing or processing a whole lot of politics, but with given this situation, from my own personal perspective, unfortunately, like all this started with the unfortunate situation with George Floyd and the police brutalities and alleged racism. But like I told a lot of my followers, you know, honestly, you know, there's been cases just like this where someone has lost his life due to alleged racial profiling, and they've actually not been punished. They've actually been able to go home to their families and go home and continue to wear their badge and make money off of that badge. When in this case, men were they're actually, every participant is being criminally charged.
Yeah.
And this is like the first instance.
Well, but one of the reasons for that is because this one was just so obvious. There's so many that are not obvious. And this one was you know, the knee heard round the world. Everybody heard that knee crack that man, and everyone could identify when he said he couldn't breathe. And it brought people out into the street.
It did.
And it got some results. We'll see how deep those results are. I certainly hope they are good results for
everybody. In regards to the rioting, something else I had mentioned, I was like, well, and this isn't me saying all cops are like this, but there are a lot of people that feel that way. But for those individuals who are, like, who do hide certain feelings behind a badge and a gun, I told a lot of my followers, I said, you know, I'm not saying all of them are like this, but if you have those individuals who feel like we are the quote unquote animals, gorillas, or savages going around tearing up businesses, whether it's in the hood or the suburbs, you know, wherever you are, like you're giving them a reason to continue to treat us like what they believe we already are, based off of history, based off of emotion, based off of personal perspective. Like going around tearing stuff up, I mean, that's what animals do. That's what a bunch of apes do.
You know, I happen to like apes a lot. I do.
I'm
a fan of the bonobos. And honestly, I mean, I mostly agree with you that you know, the rioting is bad. Certainly as a businesswoman, I wouldn't want my business torn up. I also notice when it comes to the media that they only give a few minutes to a peaceful protest. But when they light up a building, that's when the media gives a lot of coverage. So I will say that I believe the media is at least as responsible for the looting as any individuals. Mm-hmm. And I will also say that I think that the investment bankers and Wall Street and the corporations have looted this country a lot more than people taking some Pampers and some lingerie out of Target. Although that's wrong. And certainly when it comes to people's small businesses, it's very wrong. But yeah. I don't feel too sorry for Target and Walmart. Any case, no. We are just about out of time.
Where do you work that the viewers can go see you? You're at Flashers, right?
Oh, no, not anymore. I'm currently at the Cocktails Gentlemen's Lounge.
Cocktails
Show Bar and Lounge.
We'll just say thank you. We have really enjoyed talking with you, Kashmir, Brianna, Bay Charles, and the rap was great. The whole interview.
Everything was great.
All right,
thank you.
Good luck to you.
I had fun.
All right, you take care and peace be with you. So we have got to go. And yeah. Hey, Max.
Yeah,
she was. We had two interesting guests tonight.
Hello.
Okay, did you want to say something, Max?
Oh, you know, I wanted to say something about these cops because, you know, for a long time, when we heard these stories, nobody believed it. You know, we were all nice white people. And as the police got to be more and more of a gang association, we now also believe that. It took a few years and, of course, a lot of black lives. And but I think things are changing. I think they have to change.
I think they're changing.
That's
too.
That's all I got to say.
We don't know. I mean, we can't really rest on our laurels.
No, because
this could all go the other way.
But it's not ending.
A fascist crackdown of some sort.
They had huge demonstrations.
I know. And they're still having them.
Keep it up.
And by the way, that's one thing I want to repeat. Media, you need to cover the peaceful marches as much as you cover the so-called riots, because you create the riots by making them more important, you know?
And to the free zone, what did they call it up there?
Oh, yeah, Seattle. Yeah. Yay.
Is it also free zone?
Seattle's got some area that, I don't know, that they're kind of running it themselves in some funny way. So in a bonobo way, I think they're trying to reimagine policing. And I feel it is in a more bonobo way. And yes, they are apes. And I'm one of those people that I don't think it's an insult for me to be called an ape. I understand other people are offended by that. And I don't call you apes except to say that all humans are apes.
I'm an ape.
We are all great apes. Like bonobos, like common bonobos. Chimps, like gorillas. We are all from the ape family. And then as far as race goes, yeah, we're just one race, and that would be the human race. We don't share that with the other apes. But we do share enough that I say we can learn a lot from our bonobo cousins. So make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question, or play out a fantasy, or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi. I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the Make Love, Not War great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war. Really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure, with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much, which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read the Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.